Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
I am and a man is who I am. I am an...
That's too high, darling. I did say that.
Oh, hello, my darlings. Fancy meeting you lot here. This is Talking to Actors with me, Anna Mann. Got a bit of a cold at the minute, so I'm sorry if I sound a little manly, a little throaty, but such is the hazard of working in the theatre. You're absolutely surrounded by germs, and I don't just mean the actors, a lot of whom I do consider germs, especially ones who get in my way. When I say actors, I mean extras, supporting actors, I believe they call themselves, but I just call them germs. But, I mean, there's actual germs there as well, everywhere. Ugh, riddled with them. And also, it's very blustery right now. It's autumn, in case you haven't noticed. Yes, here we are for our special Halloween episode. Ooh, don't you dare. Someone was talking to me earlier about messing around with a Ouija board. I said, are you completely insane? Do you realise you're playing with forces beyond your control? They said, oh, it's all right, it's just a Ouija board. What? It's just a bit of fun, Anna. I said, the last time I did that, I conjured Sue Clinch. Or the spirit that now inhabits Sue Clinch, I believe, my best friend Sue Clinch. I don't know if you know her. She's not well, and I think it's partly because of this Ouija board. Back in 86, 7, possibly 93, Sue had this idea, Anna, let's do a Ouija board. Although, of course, she didn't really talk like that then. It was more, you know, Anna, let's do a Ouija board. You know, she was more, she wasn't quite as gone. And I said, oh, well, no, Sue, that's messing with forces we don't understand. Are you sure that's a good idea? She said, come on, Anna. And I mean, that's a bad one, but, come on, Anna, something like that, you know. Come on, Anna, let's do it. What's the worst that could happen? Well, I tell you the worst that can happen. I'll send you a bloody photograph if you want. We should use her as a sort of, you know, those government adverts to say, kids, yeah, Ouija board sounds fun, doesn't it? Look at what you could become. You could become this, Sue Clinch. Now she talks like that. And she's rabid and she's constantly speaking in tongues. I think that's what it is anyway. Or she's just very bad at pronouncing. I don't know. Her diction has always been appalling. I mean, I tell her that all the time. Her diction is absolutely appalling. By the way, you hear a weird, spooky sound. That's, well, I hope it's the wind. It could be a spirit, a phantasm, a ghoul. Something from the other side, you know? Or it could probably... It's probably the wind, let's be honest. But I don't know. I think science has really messed around with us in that respect. I really do. I think all, you know, all this chemistry, biology, what is it? You know, doctors, professors, stuff like that. I'd rather go to a clairvoyant, a witch doctor, a fortune teller. Maybe it is all nonsense, but fuck, I tell you, once I went to one, I walked in, they immediately said, hey, that's not your real hair, is it? And how did they know that? How could they tell, you know? How could they tell? I mean, I was wearing my 10-foot giant wig, the one that I use for carnival, but still, they just knew instantly. It was incredible. So I'm just saying, don't rule it out. There's definitely something out there. It's a cold October-y. I mean, Halloween's gone, I won't lie. When you're listening to this, it's well gone. But, you know, there's something about it. There is that special night of the year where all the... I can sense there's something around. Maybe there's something in the room right now. Hello? If there is a spirit, make yourself known. Nothing. Just the wind. Or a very, quite rude ghost, which is possible. I don't know, is it ruder to scare people or to just not actually respond? Either way, it's not ideal. I hate ghosts. Anyway, back to the reason we're here. Enough of this ghouly nonsense. This is, as I say, Talking to Actors with me, Anna Mann. And a lovely hello to all my listeners. We've got a few new listeners since I appeared on Harry Hill's Club Night. You might have seen it. If you haven't seen it, why not see it, please? Every now and again, I make the little line on my computer go red. That's when I shout. But my editor has said, Anna, for the love of Christ, can you stop doing that? I said, well, A, I don't love Christ, right? I'm not a Satanist. I'm not saying that. I admire Jesus. I respect what he did, but I will not suffer organized religion. That's another subject for another time. My point is, I've forgotten what I was talking about. Anyway, hello to you all. Yes, new listeners, hopefully, since Harry Hill's Club Night. I think it went down all right. I mean, I won't lie, I got a bit of stick. One chap did suggest it was an act of hate, which I thought was going a bit far. You know, he suggested it was an actual hate crime. And I said, oh, come on, mate. You know, just a bit of fun, isn't it? He said, well, what if I said that about the gays? And I thought, I'm not going further with this. I'm not going to go further with this. Anyway, crack on, Anna. So, yes, hello to all of you. All you big bears, you great big bears. Bless you, darlings. On your way, you're probably on your way to the office now or the bank or whatever, sat on your little tube or your train or your bus, or maybe you're walking. Ugh, God bless you. You're even doing that, listening to your little headphones that you got as a little Christmas bonus. On your way to work, where you'll be pushed into a little wicker cage while the boss screams at you to make money or something. I don't know. I've never had a real job. I don't know what it's like. In fact, if anyone could tweet in to let me know what it's like, Colin Holt comedy or Anna Mann actress. Yes, I've never had a real job. And, you know, sometimes people, I say that and people go, no, Anna, acting is a proper job. And I say, darling, acting isn't a job, right? A job is something that ordinary people do. Acting is the bloodstream of the universe, isn't it? I don't know. Am I going too far saying that? I mean, we actors are white blood cells acting our way through the veins of theatre, blitzing the cancer that is the critic. And I really don't think I'm being hyperbolic when I say that. I really don't, mainly because I don't know what hyperbolic means. But no, darlings, good luck to you, you lovely big bears, you lovely slovenly honey bears, wandering your way, sat on your bus, munching away on some fat in a bag, dreaming of a way out. Well, maybe this is the way out, darling, right here. And listening to this podcast, you can forget just for a second, well, you know, about 45 minutes, how awful everything is. Now, I am, in case you're wondering, and if you don't know, you've really taken a punt here, but I am Anna Mann, actress, singer, pumpkin eater. Yes, it's that time of the year, as I said, when we gorge ourselves on the root vegetable and we drink the innards, then carve one of our ex-husband's faces into the shell. Or, of course, during one particularly bad divorce, I actually carved a pumpkin into my husband's face. Ugh, we won't go into that now. This year, I carved a pumpkin. I went for a very accurate Jim Peach, who some of you may remember was my fourth husband. Lovely chap. Really nice man, actually. We lost him in the marketplace of Marrakesh, and he was sadly never seen again. Bless him. If you're out there, Jim, we love you. And, you know, I just pretended we weren't married. I'm sorry. I don't know. We probably technically are. It doesn't matter. But no, I love Halloween, as it's correctly pronounced. Halloween. All Hallows Eve. The Eve when all the Hallows. So it's so much fun. It really is. You know, by the time you hear this, it'll be long gone, as we've said, and you'll be busy cleaning the bits of vom from your masks, I imagine. Now, back in the day, I go out every year on a trick-or-treating with my dear, lovely late husband, John Smellsy, my second, probably the only man I've ever really loved. I tell that to all my husbands. I say, darling, you can try, but you'll never be John Smells, you know. Smellsy. Probably at home you're getting a little ripple of recognition now. Oh, yes, Smellsy, yes, you remember him. What he'd do? He'd lead the charge, naturally, you know. I was always scampering behind him in many ways, you know, mainly because he was just so fast, which is very impressive for an 80-year-old man. I think it was because he had a tiny, one of those little electric scooters. He'd just zip along, you know. Anyway, he would go to a door, knock on the door, trick or treat, he'd cry in his wonderful Shakespearean voice, trick or treat. And they'd say, you know, treat. And he would treat them to a 40-minute rendition of the To Be or Not to Be speech from Hamlet. which shouldn't have taken 40 minutes. That's quite a long time, actually, for one soliloquy. It's probably should only take a maximum of, I don't know, 3 minutes, maybe, but he would make it last 40 minutes. And it was incredible. It really was. You know, he had an achingly slow delivery, and he would fill the speech with some absolutely incredible, masterful pauses, very long, slow pauses, not just in between sentences, but in between words, sometimes in between syllables, sometimes in between letters. Long pause. Ooh, that was just the two. So you can imagine how it took 40 minutes. But a lot of those pauses, I mean, they really were clever. They took the theatre world by storm at the time, but I knew they were actually just so we could have a fag or three. But woe betide any other trick-or-treaters coming up behind him, trying to push in. He'd go absolutely batshit if you interrupted him. The younger people won't know this, but traditionally in theatre, if you're interrupted, do you know what the response is? You may be going, boo, it's boo, Anna, it's crap. No, it's not. It's actually to hiss. Hiss, like that. Hiss. You know, say you're watching a play and someone walks in loudly, you go, hiss, hiss. God, I'm really making the screen go red. I'm going to get in such trouble. You know, you'd hiss, hiss, like that. Hiss. And if you interrupted John's to be or not to be speech, or as we call it, to be to what be, to be, what do we call it? To bow to be. To bow to be, that's what we call it. For short, if you interrupted his to bow to be, you know, the to bow to be, who me, ye, the to bow to be, that sort of thing. Anyway, if you interrupted his to bow to be, you would get the hiss of your life. God, he'd hiss at you. He'd really, really take you to town. One young chap got the John Smells hiss and just, bang, immediately gave up the profession. Immediately. John had that kind of power, you know, bless him. Bless you, John. Long gone now. Still, he wasn't actually the most terrifying director I worked with. That awe-inspiring and arse-clenching accolade probably goes to the legendary Bernard B. Byrne. The B was short for Bernie. The quintessential Irishman, true artist, cared about his plays so much. He really cared so much, he would often go to bed with his plays. I remember he once literally tried to marry a collection of Samuel Beckett, and he would have managed it as well if the priest hadn't fallen into a coma from sheer boredom. Bless him, smoked like a chimney that had a fag on. Wasn't uncommon to see him with three or four fags in his mouth at one time. And as a director, he had that way of really using far too many words than was necessary when he was trying to give you a note. Like all the best directors, when he gave you a note, you were infinitely more confused than you had been before he gave you the note. And that's the sign of a good director. If a director comes up to you and goes, darling, I've got a note, and you listen, you go, OK, yep, I'll do that. That's not a good director. Really, you should go away going, fuck, what does he mean? I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. I remember vividly Bernard B.B. describing how he wanted the set to be painted like a void, he said. A void, a completely devoid of colour, he said. A complete absence of all the colours, leached, drained of all brightness, lightness and shine. An empty hole, a dark nothing. And one of the actors in the company, a very facetious chap called Nat Grump, stuck his hand up and he said, do you mean you want it painted black? God, he was in trouble then. He was in trouble. Oh, my goodness. Very facetious Nat Grump, always asking questions. Let the director speak, I'd say. That's what they want. That's why they do it. They like talking at you for ages. You know, the sort of questions he'd ask. God. Oh, would they actually wear those clothes in this time period, though? You know, stuff like that. Annoying. Should Othello carry an Uzi? Are you sure I need to be naked in this scene? You know, I think that last one was when Bernard directed the Tunbridge Wells Christmas Grotto. It was a bit much, to be honest. The mayor's still apologising for that. Yes, that was Bernard, though. He believed in using theatre, any theatre, to really shock. He didn't care if it was Chekhov, but where you didn't fire the gun. Very shocking. Or a training video for Wicks. He wanted to wake the public up. What he'd call the pigs. Gotta wake up the pigs. If we don't wake up the pigs, we might as well give them the butcher's knife now. That was the opening line at Santa's Grotto. Terrifying, but incredibly brave. Obnoxiously relevant. He called it Theatre of the Imprisoned, because if you performed it, you were almost definitely going to get arrested. It's got me thinking about Nat Grump now. Bless him. Really weaselly face on him. Quite an ugly chap. Not not in his features, as many of you know. I see what lies beneath. I do not judge people by their physical appearance, but by their soul, their spirit, and, you know, whether they can further my career. But I really despise those sort of actors who are always asking questions in rehearsals. You know, let's just block the fucker and get to the pub, for God's sake. Don't think, act. Then buy me a drink. So yes, Bernard had done this very lengthy description of the painting of the set, and Nat had stuck his hand and said, "Oh, do you mean black?" And boy, did Bernard let rip at him, really did, screamed at him, you know, "How dare you?" An inch from his face, and his breath, ugh, really stunk. Coffee, cigarette, and, let's be honest, excrement. I mean, that was part of the theatre of the imprisoned, you know, that was sort of the initiation. If you like. I won't go into that because it's too grim. Anyway, he actually burnt a bit of Nat's chin with one of the many fags that were currently in his mouth. We did not cross Bernard after that, let me tell you. But actually, he did just mean he wanted it painted black, and it was painted black. I remember one more little memory of Bernard before we move on, or Bernard, or Bernie, or say it how you want, I don't care. Anyway, we were working on Arturo Uy by Brecht. I think that's the correct pronunciation. Some people say Brecht, but of course the correct pronunciation is Brecht. It's a wonderful play. If you don't know it, it's all about the rise of Hitler, you know him, and the Nazi Party, very achingly relevant for now. It's a grotesquely vital and very important piece, which I confess to never quite understanding. It's an allegory, you see, where you've got these sort of, there's like cauliflower salesmen. They sell cauliflowers, and they end up sort of taking over the marketplace, you know, a bit like the Nazis. Anyway, it's really good, apparently. Anyway, Bernard spent the first week of rehearsals. We got in there all ready to do this kind of wonderful allegory by Brecht of, you know, the rise of the Nazis, which is always so relevant. Bernard just spent the first few weeks talking about cauliflowers. You know, the cauliflower. We'd sat there, you know, the cauliflower. Think about it. The cauliflower. Right, you know. The shape, it's a flower, it's white. It's white, but there's bits of green on it. You know, it got on and on and on about this, and we're all sat around. Eventually, after a couple of weeks, Nat Grump stuck his hand up, always Nat Grump, and he said, "Sorry, Bernard, but I don't think it's actually about cauliflowers. I think this play's about the Nazis, isn't it?" Oh, my God. Let's just say BBB really let rip. And, of course, Nat never worked again or actually walked again, which did land BBB in jail for the rest of his natural life, where he could literally perform the theatre of the imprisoned to his heart's content. Actually, it turned out once he was in there, he did not like it. It was quite different from what he thought it'd be like. Sadly, Bernard did pass away when he tried to break his record and smoke 100 fags at once. But hey-ho, I hadn't learned any of the lines. I remember I'd barely read the play. Just pretended to listen to BBB talk about cauliflowers all day while I tried to remember every sandwich I'd ever eaten. That's what happens when I get bored. I think I sit there and people are talking about the play and I'm like, all I want to do is get on the stage and have people love me. You know, I don't want to get into all this boring stuff about cauliflowers. So I just start thinking about all the sandwiches I've had. It's actually, you should try it. I'm not one of these creeps like old David Suchet, you know, who comes to rehearsals knowing all their lines. Oh, God, I make it a rule to never learn my lines until we're at least halfway through the run. That was BBB, bless him. Bernard, Bernie, Burn. Happy Halloween to you, Bernie, if you're up there. Mwah. And happy Halloween to you all. I'm very sad to not have John Smelsy with me or any of my husbands this year. No, what did we do? Well, all I did this year was I pushed Sue around town in her nightie, absolutely terrified everyone. They were just throwing cash at us at the end to leave.
My mate bought a toaster. We go through celebrities' Amazon purchase histories so you don't have to keep calm and love Dom Jolly novelty keyring and fridge magnets.
Yeah, I love that.
The G-spot.
The good vibrations, guys.
Green dot laser sight rifle gun scope.
I've bought that quite a lot of times, I think.
Right, okay. The sex doctor's guide to keeping it hot.
Ah, oh, interesting.
Did another child come along 9 months later?
Yeah.
Loads of great eps up now, and new ones dropping every Monday. That's My Mate Bought a Toaster from Great Big Al.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Now, it's time to get on with the podcast proper. We're here to talk to actors, so that's exactly what we're going to do. And I'm very lucky now, because my guest is actually very famous. I was in the airport with him, and everyone was going, "Oh, you him?" And they was going, "Well, yes, yes, I am." Although in a very cool way, sort of like this, "Yeah." And they were like, "Oh, could we take a picture with you?" And he go, "Sure." Very cool. Wonderfully cool man. I'm talking, of course, about Aston Merigold. Hang on a minute, Anna. Isn't he the singer and the dancer with JLS, that wonderful pop group, that incredible band that tickled our ears with their remarkable tunes and, frankly, frightening audacity? Well, yes, he is, but he's also an actor. Not all of you may have known this. As we find out in the speech, he did acting long before anyone even knew the letters JL or S, let alone had the idea to put them together and form a pop group around it. He is an actor, did a bit of acting back in the day, and now he's getting back into it. He's already done a couple of jobs, and he is great. Trust me, I've had some first-hand experience there. Very talented man. So let's hear from Aston Merigold in Talking to Actors.
Talking to actors, trying to understand their process. We're talking to actors, actors, yeah, they rule the world.
Hello, Aston.
Hello.
Hello, darling, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
You're absolutely riddled with tattoos. I love that.
I am.
Do you want to take me through those quick?
There's a whole sleeve.
Well, I mean, we've got 20 minutes or so.
There's a lot. There's obviously all the art.
The kissing jokers.
The kissing jokers, oh. The faces of the
mine.
Acting. Yeah, exactly.
They're the acting world.
This is the acting world.
But they're if comedy and tragedy kiss, what do we get?
A romantic comedy.
Russ Abbott's Funhouse. Something like that. I think... But no, that's lovely.
Yeah,
performance is in your blood.
Yeah, exactly.
And on your skin.
And on my skin. This is a quote. There's good and bad in all of us, but bad as in interpreted is obviously the Michael Jackson bad, like as in talent. There's talent within all of us.
Oh, right. Good and bad.
You're good at something.
Yes. There's
something, everyone's good at something.
Yes, yes. I like to think mine's acting, but Mum says it's mainly sleeping and crying.
That's good though.
I'm good at it.
You're good.
I love having a good wail. Just screaming, opening the door windows and just screaming at passers-by. Have you ever done that?
You must
try it. Just when you're down, you know, okay, but that's good.
Yeah.
And then we've got a lady.
We've got a lady, a dream girl. This is the dream girl.
The dream girl. Yeah. Slightly. Hello.
Yeah.
We got conception.
Over there.
What were the
in? Sorry, we don't know. There was a man just came in with a parcel. We're backstage on set at Almost Never, and a man just came in with a parcel.
Yes,
for us.
That was.
And we maintained.
We did. We
ourselves.
We did.
Which was fun.
Which was fun.
And then he left. So that's good. We don't deal with parcels, darling. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think we need some kind of sign that says, "Darling, that's not us."
I think the actual door does say
anything.
Talent.
Talent, not parcels.
Yep.
Parcels is another department.
Yeah, that's not
right. So there's a lady on your arm.
Yes,
that
is
like
the dream girl. That's why the face is kind of covered.
Oh God!
Just so there's no kind of. I got this before.
She's not a particular.
No, so I got this before my missus now.
Before
so
your actual missus.
Yeah, so it was a bit like okay.
How long ago was that then?
Symbol. This is
So that's what you were looking for.
19 years ago?
Yeah. And would you go up to girls and sort of hold it next to their faces and sort of compare? And
just to kind of see, I'd be like,
is that one?
A bit like, no, it's not. She actually does, this is kind of like my missus, so I'm happy.
Oh, lovely. Well, perfect. Yeah. Well, you knew what you wanted and you got it.
There you go.
So. There's a slight horror angle to it.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Maybe that's because there's a skull next to it.
Maybe.
A reminder of death.
It was definitely...
Bloody hell, can't get away from it.
I know, it's a bit deep. No, it was more, I think, back in the olden days, the pin-up kind of girl.
Yes.
That type of vibe. But I totally changed it. I went, no, I want a pin-up girl, but it's a little bit more...
God, if you were 30 years younger, maybe I'd have been on the arm.
Yep.
Who knows?
See?
Who knows?
Who knows?
I never look quite like that.
No.
And then what else have we got? We've got this, the microphone.
We've got the microphone. We've got
that is.
Exactly. We've got
classic old school.
The stars. We've got
diamonds.
Hearts. Diamonds. Yep. Yeah. Diamonds. We've got the hearts with the headphones on, which is
oh, that's cool.
A little bit. Yeah.
Listening with your heart. There we go. I love
See,
this.
You get it.
Every tattoo tells a story.
You get
oh God,
it.
I love it.
You do. You get
I love it.
It.
I might. Do you know? Someone once told me a story that Julie Andrews. I don't
oh,
know
yes,
Julie Andrews.
Do,
Mary
yes.
Poppins.
Yeah. Of course.
Riddled with tattoos of 666.
She was.
Apparently. Someone, it was an Italian drag queen I met.
Right.
Called Ernesto, who swore to me that Julie Andrews, and I said, have you seen this, Ernesto? And he said, well, yes, you know, of course. I said, really, though? And he said, well, I've heard about it. That's not the same as seeing it.
No.
But I don't think that's true, do you? I've often wondered.
I mean, was this before or after Mary Poppins?
Even if you were really into Satan, would you do that?
Probably not. I dare say she probably wouldn't have got the part.
No. I mean, that you know, from the neck. He reckoned from the neck to the knee.
Right. Okay. Well,
maybe
she was,
even the ankle.
She had a full suit on.
She
so
did wear
was,
a lot of. Yeah. We wouldn't know.
We wouldn't know. That's
God,
something.
We
maybe...
won't know until she finally dies. Fired. Or we won't know.
Or we can get another reliable source.
Yes.
Yeah.
God. All right, well, if I get her on the pod, that's the first
then
question.
Then I
right.
would love
okay,
to
now.
Actually...
Right, one day.
No,
okay,
yeah,
next time she's in town.
That's the
I'm
goal.
I'm going to collar her.
Yeah.
That's all I want to know. Julie, are you covered in 666s? Yes or no? No, right, great. Now let's talk about Mary Poppins.
Done.
There we go. So lovely. Is that everything?
Yeah.
And a castle?
Pretty much. There's
sorts?
Oh, this, so these Chateau. Are these are actually buildings from my hometown.
Oh, wow. Which is?
So, Peterborough.
Peterborough.
Yeah,
oh,
so,
lovely.
It's a wonderful part of the world.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've never been there. I've only heard bad things.
Really?
From a man who lived in Ipswich.
Oh, well, there you go. See,
rivalry.
Ipswich.
Is that a natural rivalry?
Torians or whatever they're called.
He's one of the farmers, isn't
he's
he?
He's one, exactly.
Farmer, tractor boys.
Yeah.
Tractor boys, there we go.
Them, Ipswich,
so Peterborough. No, I don't think I've ever been.
Yeah, there's...
Is that sort of Lower Midlands?
East Midlands.
East Midlands?
Yeah. No, not East Midlands. East
yeah.
Anglia.
East Anglia. Yes.
Sorry about that. Sorry, if anyone, I'm really sorry. I do know my stuff.
So you feel connected to your Peterborough roots?
Very much so. My family is still down there. So
right.
It's, yeah,
all
the
there.
Journeys do constantly happen. And if so, I'm ever on the train, I do have to kind of go through there.
Go through Peterborough. Yeah. Just a little salute.
Yep.
As you go past.
Exactly.
Oh,
there you go.
Yes. What's that one up to Manchester go through Peterborough, I think, doesn't it? I've definitely been
anywhere
through it many
north.
Times.
Anywhere
a lot of,
up north.
Sort of like Reading. One of those.
One of...
We go through it, but we rarely stop in it.
There you go.
But when we do,
it's
boy,
a,
are we surprised.
It's a glorious time.
Yes. All right.
Yeah.
So, connected to your roots. That's lovely. Now,
yeah.
Aston Mary Gold.
Yes.
Three words. To tell... Well...
ish.
That tell such a story. I've got you here. You're an actor now.
Yes, I am now. Yes.
Fully fledged.
Fully fledged.
You've got a spotlight photo.
I have.
You're on Equity.
Yep.
Wow. You're doing this.
I am
you're doing
the
this.
Dream.
So, of course, in the past, you've done other stuff. But
yes.
You did act a bit originally, didn't you?
I did, yeah, when I was young. I did act a little bit when I was young. Did a lot of extra work.
Extra work?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Were you ever warned? Because I was always warned, Diana, don't do extra work. You'll never act.
I mean...
Because they'll think that you can't... That you can only mime.
You can only mime, that's true. I was very...
No, I can speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did get one or two lines.
Right.
I think they were cut.
Was
I
that
did
films,
get
TV?
TV.
Right.
Yeah, TV at the
and
time.
So that was when you were in Peterborough?
Yeah, that's when I was in Peterborough when I was
but
very
But were they
young.
Filming in Peterborough? Oh, you were a kid?
No, so I was a kid, yeah. During
you go
school.
Down to London to do extra work?
Yeah.
So you knew you wanted... All right, let's go back to the beginning. Let's
yeah.
go... So you were born?
I was born, I was,
all,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. All happens to most of us.
Yeah.
And that was all right. In Peterborough?
Yep. Grew up there, had a lovely time there.
Lovely time. Nice childhood.
Lovely childhood.
Wonderful. And when did the drive begin? That's the question. Because whether you're an actor, whatever these many actor, singer, dancer, clown of sorts, but where did it really begin?
It began... I mean, my mum would probably tell you from ridiculously young age, but really? I don't remember any of that stuff. So probably through secondary school, I was a bit like, this is good.
Yeah.
I started to get understanding and kind of going, oh, the plays are quite good. Is there stuff bigger than school plays? Yeah, there's a lot bigger than school plays. Yeah, then that kind of just spread on.
There's Amdram, for God's sakes. there's the Peterborough Town Hall, you know?
And then it got bigger from there.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's beyond Peterborough?
There you go.
London.
That's what I wanted to know.
Hollywood. And then where do we go? Well, that's it, really, isn't it?
Kind of.
Bollywood, probably. Nowadays.
Yeah, Bollywood.
It's doing very well.
It is.
But no, so you sort of got a feel for it from the school play. But you were already into, you were sports and stuff?
Sports was the main thing.
You were sports.
I was always going to be a footballer.
Because normally, often, it's you know, them what can't do the sports.
Mm-hmm.
Two left feet, no arms,
yeah.
An extra head, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they can't play for whatever reason. They can't do the sports.
Exactly.
So they go, right, here's a little enclave, a little oasis.
Mm-hmm.
I can sing, I can dance. This is my sport.
Yep.
You know, it's like sport. But it's
like sport, but it's not sport.
Yeah, you don't get hit. No one jumps on you. Or if they do, it's rehearsed.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's very rehearsed.
Very rehearsed.
And, you know, if you can't actually, you know, you only ever pretend to stab.
Yeah, sometimes.
Kick and so on.
Yeah.
So, but what was the sport? Football?
Football.
That was your big one.
Yeah, it was football. Until the age of 16, I took it very seriously.
Wow. Well, did you want to be a professional?
Yeah.
Really?
I was on the way. I was good. I was ready. The trials were about to happen, all this. And then the age-old story of the injury happened. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
So if that hadn't happened, you would have maybe become a footballer and none of
exactly
the other stuff would have happened.
Yeah.
What was the injury?
Basically, within the bottom, it sounds really weird, in the bottom of my foot, I've now had nerves taken out of the bottom of my left foot. Yeah, so
just ripped out like spaghetti.
Just however they did it, I'm not.
So you can't feel in the bottom of your
foot? Yeah, I used to have a lot of pain, basically. It was really weird. I used to have to walk on the side of my foot at times if I wanted to move. Sometimes I'd just not be able to
stand up. And was that a problem when you were dancing? Or did it sort of...
It was, but at the same time, it was a problem when I was playing football all the time, but it just got to the point where I couldn't handle it and needed an operation.
Right.
And it was a bit like...
I feel like there's a movie in that, you know, like if you were to become a kind of vigilante, with no feeling in his foot, so he could just, you know, as long as he was using that one foot, he was invincible.
I like that, yeah.
Because he couldn't feel anything. I mean, I guess you could still lose the foot, but...
True, but I could have kicked Thanos in the face.
Kick him right in the face.
And
knock his bloody block off.
Yeah, done.
Chinny freak. Chinny purple freak. Who is that? He's not even really there, you know.
He's not. He's just...
Would you like to do a CGI?
I would love to do a CGI.
God, yeah, I think it'd be so hard. I mean, I find acting hard when someone's talking to me.
This is true. I do.
I mean, acting hard when you're just drinking a cup of tea, let alone if the tea's made out of pixels. Whatever. It's not even there. Well, there's no cup of tea.
It's jumping at you.
There's not a cup of tea, darling.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing behind it. You're in a jungle, right? Well, where's the trees?
Yeah.
We'll put them in after. Ah! You know? God, mad. This whole profession's mad. So what would you like to be an Avenger?
That's a dream.
That's a big
dream.
Would you go Avengers or Justice League? I mean, obviously, Justice League is right for a beginning.
So this is the thing for me. When if we're going to delve into this,
mm-hmm. Yes.
For me, I personally feel that in terms of superheroes themselves,
yes,
your Batmans and Supermans are your... For me, they're historic. They're the beginning of my superhero journey.
The quintessential.
They're the archetypes.
Like,
yeah, they're the ones I'm kind of going, you're the blueprint.
Right.
You're the blueprint for a superhero, but then you look at Marvel now, and it's just like I think I started with the Marvel thing. It was more like Spider-Man and X-Men. It was
I think
the early
you'd be a good Spider-Man. Man. You've got the sort of liveness and
Miles Morales. That kind
well,
of
I mean, that sort of what I love is in terms of you know, skin and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to be such a problem anymore,
no,
which
not
is
really.
Fun, isn't it? Because it hasn't been in theatre for
It'd
a long
be
time.
Interesting.
Be interesting. Why not?
Interesting. No,
I mean, obviously, you'll get a whole horde of right-wing monsters coming for you. But
yeah.
But I have a spider. I think you'd be a good Spider-Man.
I think I'll take that.
If you want it, you can have it.
I want it.
I mean, I'm not saying it will get you the part.
Okay, but all right.
I still carry some weight.
Exactly. Well,
circles.
You've said it, so now it's happening.
I think somewhat. Liberty. Have I got to go? Have I got to go back on set?
Can I come in?
Yes.
Sorry, yeah, they need you.
Okay.
You need it.
Right, well, we'll come back in a minute. Well, we're back. We got interrupted there, didn't we?
We did. Not by the mailman again.
No, not the mailman. We'd have just pushed him away with a stick or something. Yeah. Get out, mailman! No, by an actual runner for the show. The runners are funny, aren't they?
They are funny.
They're a lovely idea.
They should be in the show.
They should be. They're great. But just the idea of having someone who runs around and gives you stuff. Can you ever get... I mean, you've probably had that for a long time.
I'm still waiting for my coffee that I asked for.
Oh, really? When did you ask?
11 o'clock.
Right, head's going to roll.
Yeah.
Okay, don't worry. Leave it with me, Aston. I'll have a chat.
Thanks, mate.
Get rid of it.
Thank you.
So before our little break, we were chatting about something. Football. You're a footballer. You have your superpower. Oh, yes, you were going to be an Avenger. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
We decided.
Yeah.
Okay, right. We'll move on from
You've
that.
Sorted that out for me, so I'm happy about that.
So... you were this footballing legend, potentially. You had the potential, like
the potential.
An amoeba of football.
Indeed.
That could have grown into an amphibian and then a dinosaur. I'm using the metaphor by the second.
But it makes sense. Yeah.
But obviously injury. However, you did not let that get you down.
No.
Was there a moment?
Yeah, when you're in a hospital bed and then you get back on the crutches and you're a bit like, okay, cool. How's this going to work then?
So you did have that, I could either let this get me down or I could
get
back out there.
Straight back out there. And then
I love that.
That's when I joined a band.
You joined the band?
I joined a band.
And was that, I want to say YTS.
Not quite YTS.
But it was a youth training scheme of sorts.
It was kind of a youth training scheme.
We could argue.
Yeah.
No, I'm being facetious. We all know who I'm talking about. So you joined... That was JLS.
So
you were together as a band before...
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
How long for?
We were together for over a year and a half before we did the X Factor.
A year and a half.
Mm.
And did you instigate it? Or were you...
I didn't instigate it, no. So I knew Marvin.
We've talked about this so many times.
No, do you know what? It's funny enough. It's like I knew Marvin.
Yes.
First of all, just from
Peterborough.
No. Mm. He was. I actually moved down to London at that point, and I basically met Marv at loads of castings and you know, mutual friends, stuff like that.
Acting cast. So you were going for the acting as well.
Acting and music, anything, theatre, everything.
You knew you wanted to perform and get involved and all
that
stuff.
I was like, right now,
this was the new chance.
Fully involved. And knew Marv. And then basically Marvin was speaking to a guy that he knew called Arishe at the time. And they were like, let's start a band. Marv was then like, I know a guy that'd be quite good to join the band.
Right.
That's where I came in. Apparently I was all right. So I joined the band.
Oh, cool.
And then...
were you instrument? You never... were an instrument.
No,
we
wanted
it was always
no,
the singing.
Right. Singing and dancing, that's the thing we wanted to do.
Wow.
And, a few weeks later, we were still rehearsing. We was like, maybe we need one more. Mm. We then auditioned a few people, and then we found JB, and then that was it. That's when JLS was.
And then we were off. Hitting the road, hitting the wind current of fame.
Kind of.
And then you did X Factor.
Yep.
You did very well. Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom,
you've
boom.
Talked about this lots. This is talking to actors. So you megastars.
Went
How
well.
How did you deal with that?
We did good.
Right. You seem to take everything in your stride.
I admire so much.
I just get an advert and I freak out. You know? I just have to say one line about, you know, I had one advert, I got cash for contacts. That's what I say. It was an insurance advert. And I let the fame go to my head.
I mean...
I'd spent 40 grand before I even filmed it. And then it turned out it was only worth 1 grand.
Right, okay. So
the advert put me 39 grand in debt.
The advert did that?
Yes.
Right, okay.
I think so.
Okay. I hear what you're saying.
I just guessed it would be about 40 grand.
Okay.
You anyway, guess. Have you ever done any adverts?
I have.
You have?
I have.
Funnily
enough.
After JLS?
No,
before?
So during...
In the early days. During JLS?
During, so funnily enough, I did...
Oh, I remember, for crisps.
No, that was a JLS. That was a JLS advert. Yes, but I actually, on my own.
Oof.
I actually did a Nokia advert at the time and a Nintendo Wii advert.
Oh, wow.
So what was actually hilarious was we were actually on the X Factor.
Yes.
And then during the final of the X Factor, there was a Nintendo Wii advert on.
Oh, wow.
Obviously selling the Wii, and I was on that advert.
You were pop-up. And it's singing. Was it a Sing Star pop star one?
No, it was
tennis?
Was it Sonic Games?
Sonic
Olympic Games or something like that.
Wow. And then we were there shaking your...
I did the bow and arrow.
Oh, cool. Yes, I bet you did. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah,
I saw a Wii in a shop window for £28 the other day, and I felt a bit sad.
You know what?
I felt a little bit sad. I thought, no one wants the Wii. It's become... You know, and that's not a reflection on you.
Listen,
I'm not criticising you, but I'm not saying it's because of that.
I was the downfall.
I mean, you didn't save it.
I hasten to add,
but no. I don't think that's why.
No, my mum actually did the same the other day. She took a load of my old console stuff, which I told her,
yes,
you should save that because it might be worth some money someday.
One day,
but
yeah.
She went down and she went, I'm going to get a few hundred pounds for this.
Oh.
I think the guy quoted her for it might have been PlayStation 1, PS2, Wii. He was like £42.
Oh, God. That's not a lot, is it?
No. So
I went in with a full box set. Sue Clinch, my best friend,
mm-hmm.
I often, when we're really poor, you know what this business is like, famine or feast.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm having a famine, I sometimes just go into her house when she's not there and raid her stuff and try and sell it. I got a box set of Battlestar Galactica. She's a love sci-fi, bless her. I think she relates to some of the creatures in it. She's not well, bless her.
I took it in.
Here you go, box set. What's that, £100? 25 pence. 25 pence.
DVDs.
Fuck off. You've given me... I mean, all right, give me the 25 pence. You know, because it's not mine, so I don't care either way. Sue Clinch was furious. It wasn't worth it in the
end. How much did it take you to get to the shop, though? How much did you spend to get to the...
Oh, well, I got a cab from, well, Rotherham at the time, actually, and it was in London. So I was staying with a friend. Well, no, I was staying with Sue Clinch.
Yeah.
Not a sort of a friend. She was living in Rotherham at the time. The Rotherham Strangler, they knew her. So no. Edit. Right. And let's mention Nate's in the room. Can we say hello to you, Nate?
Yeah, Nathaniel.
Hello, everyone.
Nathaniel. Oh, he's got his teeth in. He's got...
I have a lisp when I'm retainers in, yeah.
Nate's here. How lovely.
Yes, yes.
So you're here with Aston.
Yes.
Nate is the star of Almost Never.
I wouldn't say star. I wouldn't say star.
I mean, he is the star.
I'm popping into the podcast because he's turned up. And Nate, well, you know, what's it like working with Aston? Can you say in a word? In a few words.
It is. I'll tell you a funny story.
Yes.
I used to be a huge JLS fan when I was a little kid.
And then you met him.
This is the thing. I met him when I was... They say
he's not joking. He's not joking.
They say never meet your heroes, right?
Yes.
So,
no. Oh.
Yeah, turned up the first time I slapped him.
But you did. You were a massive fan.
Huge fan.
So how did you feel when they said Aston was coming on set?
I was a bit speechless, I can't lie. And I remember the first time I met him, the first time I saw him was in the makeup room.
Yes.
And he walked in the door and he saw me and he said, "Hello, how you doing, man? The cool way he does it.
Yes,
know?
Yes. Oh, he's very cool.
And,
achingly so.
And I just froze.
Oh,
I just completely froze and I didn't know what to do. I did a cool handshake with him and walked out the room.
Did you do the cool, like, whatever, man?
Yeah, like, I tried to play it off, like...
And bearing in mind, I was outside and it was very loud before I walked in, and I walked in and everyone went silent. I was a bit like,
oh, but you must be used to that, being a movie star, a music star.
I mean, yeah. You kind of think...
Well, actually, the day you think, yeah, that's because I'm so cool, is the day you need to stop.
You need
it,
to
really?
Stop. And,
but instead... Oh, lovely. But then you soon bonded.
Yeah, we bonded.
You work very well together.
Yeah.
It's lovely to
see.
It's
great.
It's lovely to see. Thanks, Nate, for
Thank you very
in.
Much. Thank you for having me.
He's in and out.
You can sit there, darling. But
that's what
we
stars do, you know?
We'll interview you another time.
Yeah, that would be
lovely. I'm not sure if I'm allowed. I don't know. I'll check with the chaperones. But... So, but Nate's still in the room, so, you know, if you hear giggling or anything, that's him. But So, Aston, where did we get to? JLS, that was great.
That was great. It was good. That was fun. It was
all
nice.
Good things must come to an end.
Indeed.
Yep. And bad things.
And
luckily.
Bad things, yeah, exactly.
But, you know, you had fun. Still friends.
Yeah, still family. Lovely. Yeah, definitely.
So, when did the acting. Did you get to a point where you went, right, let's start acting? We've always wanted to do it. We did that advert.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was good.
I mean, it destroyed the Wii.
It destroyed the Wii, but it was
almost
good.
Destroyed Nintendo.
It definitely destroyed Nokia, but it's fine as
okay.
well.
Okay, right, yeah. But now you're...
Yeah, I think, do you know what? I did a feature film, what was it, a year and a half ago now?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, called Boogeyman, and it was it's good fun, a really good
Boogeyman
fun.
Like Moo or
no,
Boogie
like,
Woogie Man?
No, Boogeyman is in like Dance-wise.
Oh, the Boogie Woogie.
Yeah, except Boogie Woogie Man.
The Boogie, like the dancing man.
Yeah, and it was like a really, really great script. And it was a director that I'd worked with a few years before within JLS. And he was like, would love him to come read for this part, see if you like it and see if you can do it.
Yes.
So I went and read for the part, and it was just, it was a supporting actor. So I was the lead actor's best friend within the script.
Right.
And it was nice. I got to actually play the comedic one-liner. You know,
oh,
funny guy, which is nice. Wow. Yeah, it was a bit like
bit of a stoner. Maybe.
No, I wasn't. I was the clean cut rude boy.
Oh, were you? Okay.
I was the clean cut version.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? It was a bit like got all the rude boy.
So
friends,
it was a bit of a rags to riches.
Kind of, it was
story,
like a college story of a bit like, oh, you've got your head screwed on, and you're trying to get out of. You know, trying to get out of a bad place.
Yeah.
You're knuckling down and working.
Right,
and
okay.
My best friend in the film at the time, he was basically struggling with... his character loved...
To boogie.
He loved to boogie, basically.
Yes.
He loved 70s music, like disco.
Oh,
loved it.
Yes.
But he had an Indian... Like, all his family was like really, really strict... Indian culture.
Oh, wow.
Household.
So was it set in the 70s?
No, it was set modern day,
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And it was... Yeah, it was cool because obviously it was a bit like my character just loved everything modern, danced to everything modern, and knew about modern music. But he kind of disobeyed the Indian culture within his family and kind of just loved everything disco and everything.
Wow.
I suppose not against his culture, but it was a
Indian
bit like
Indian culture's
it,
quite disco, though,
isn't
it?
Not as late.
Like,
It's a lot of partying, but it's
and beautiful.
There's a difference between like Bollywood and John Travolta.
Yes,
do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So that his like idol was like
two sides of the same coin. But
there you go.
Never the twain shall. Yes,
there you go. So it was. Listen, it was a great script. I really enjoyed
it. And you've done that's out.
Yeah, that's out. That
and
was
you get that.
Yeah, it? That's on. That was on Sky Premier.
Oh, fine.
Just last month, actually, and. It's on like Now TV and Sky.
Oh wow! So it just came out.
yeah.
Oh fab! I want to watch
which
that.
Which is great, and it
I didn't realize
it won a whole load.
Must do research next. I really must. It's appalling.
No, do you know what? It's all them things where
right.
I like, it was a great learning curve for me, and it was just nice, more so for my friend, the director, Andy Moran, who like really, really worked in the script hard, and he was just a bit like. You know, I think it was that thing about he's asking questions. Do you think this is good? Is this good? Is this
yeah,
good? Like,
was it off
no
his own
idea.
Back kind
yeah.
of thing? Right?
Yeah, and it was great, and it was.
Oh, wow.
He kind of took a big risk with it, and it won a load of like, I suppose the within the acting industry awards
yeah.
that he wanted. Do you know what I mean? He wanted that recognition.
You've
and
got to take that big risk, haven't you?
Yeah,
it costs. You know, you've got to get all the money and all the people and all that.
Exactly,
stuff.
And he did it, and it took
where
about a year
point?
To get together. After finally getting the script, it took him then a year just to kind of go. Right, the script's ready. I need to now really build on this, which, you know, he did, as I said, it's a year, so it was quick, but...
I did a film once, and I was at a screening, and the director was so convinced it was rubbish, he apologised to us all before the movie began, and then sort of made it so the whole... I don't know whether it's true or not, but the cinema sort of broke down, and all the lighting went off, and so we all had to go home. And I still don't know if that's true. I still don't know if he did that.
Did he sabotage
on
that? Yeah, did he sabotage?
Possibly.
The
then the film came out and it was good, but it was
maybe it's just a nerve that I'm
yeah.
sure Nate will probably say the same thing. You write a song and people hear it and you kind of go, oh, I don't know if this is any good, man. I'm not sure. But you have to obviously wait
yes.
for people's reaction to know
that moment of knowing, and you still, you know, And it only takes one source to say, no, it's not good.
Yeah.
And all the other millions.
I mean, listen, you're never going to please everybody.
No, definitely not.
Never, ever. Within any part of this entertainment industry, you're never. But I think as long as you deliver a performance that you're proud of and go, well, I did my best.
Yes. That's
then
it.
All you can kind of do is go, well, I did my best. Some people will be like, that you're incredible, blah, blah, blah. Other people will be like, didn't like it, just for no reason.
Yeah.
Some people just don't like stuff.
Some people just
and that's
don't
just
like,
their hobby.
You know. Yeah. Some people don't like, I mean, most people don't like what I do, as in all the plays I've done.
I mean.
Well, no, I mean, the majority of audiences do walk out. But I just sort of go, you know what I mean? But I'm there and I'm like, you know what? That one person, I mean, yeah, they probably just come in because they're, I mean, they don't have anywhere else to go and it's free. Well, in fact, I'm paying people to come and watch it in that instance.
Right, okay.
But if that one person, yes, they're asleep, but if that one person's life has changed, just a tiny fraction, even it all goes in.
See?
Then I've done my job.
There you go.
You know,
you've done your
that's
job.
What I like
exactly
anyway.
That. I'm with you.
Well, so someone's coming in.
Someone's coming in.
Jamie.
It's Jamie.
Hello, Jamie.
See,
I'm doing the
podcasting
podcast
right
test.
Now. Oh.
Everyone's getting involved.
I'm involved.
Do you, who do you need, darling?
I need Aston.
Aston.
Yeah.
Well, can I wrap up with him?
Certainly.
Very quickly. Well,
indeed.
Aston, so now you're acting. And
I am.
You've jumped into it.
I have.
Very quickly, your process. What do you do to get the character? So
for me,
time.
Mine's actually quite easy. I can't lie. It's
yes.
it's a manager of a boy band. So all I'm doing is
you know that world.
I know that world so well that I've had many managers over the years, and it's quite easy to kind of I've had the conversations within the scripts.
Do you sort of see those people and history?
Yeah, I kind of got. I didn't like how that conversation went, so I'm gonna do the exact opposite from what my manager did then, or I'm gonna go, that was great, I'm gonna just take that, what happened then, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and put it here.
Wonderful. Thank you, Aston.
Done.
Well, it's wonderful. What
thank
a lovely
you.
Chat, darling.
Thank you, my love.
And thank you, Nate.
Thank you
yes.
for having me.
Well done, a sneak little bit of Nate there.
There
we'll have a chat to another time, if I'm allowed. Bye, boys.
Bye.
Bye.
Lovely Aston Merigold there. What a bloody lovely man. And in case you've never seen him, he's an absolute dish. He really is. Well, let's wrap up for this week, shall we? I mean, literally, it's fucking freezing in here. I'm wearing 8 dressing gowns and I'm still shivering. I might have to let my best friend Sue Clinch get in the bed again. Oof. Her pong is unfortunate. Her manners unforgivable. But she gives off more heat than 100 water bottles. I'll just have to stop her bringing bloody chicken wings into the bed again. I'm always finding bones under the duvet. I hope it's chicken anyway. Ugh. God forgive if she goes back to her old ways. I'm not testifying for her again. I don't care how many times she's paid my rent. Which is every time. She's always paid my rent. Don't forget, darlings, Harry Hill's Club Night is on all 4. And the first episode features myself and a man popping up doing a little bit of fun. And also Anna's People online. If you go onto YouTube, Mr. Box is the channel, or you can find it on Colin Holt Comedy, which is where you can find all my videos. So please have a watch of some of those. Anna's People is a pilot for a hopefully soon to be happening online series. Also Facebook, Anna Man Actress. You can buy some things there, or you will be able to soon once I've pulled my money finger out of my ass. And then of course Instagram, Anna Man Actress, Twitter, Colin Holt Comedy, and do watch Almost Never, which Aston is appearing in. And of course, Colin Holt is appearing in. That is on iPlayer right now. And a little bit of news, we're arranging it, but we are hoping to be touring a new show in the new year. I haven't been gigging a lot recently, but I will be back in the new year, hopefully with a brand new show, which is all very exciting. All right, my darlings, I love you. Be visceral, be real, be brave. I've been Anna Man. Mwah.
GreatBigOwl.com.
all of television history is contained in the Box of Delights.
I've climbed up Nelson's Column once before.
These are small.
And put it down in front of Bagpuss.
I'm Julia Rayside. Join me and my guests as we dip into our favourite TV memories.
Suppose I mustn't hesitate bashing my head like this.
You can't tell me what to do. You ain't my mother.
I love when a plan comes together.
Come and tell us what yours are too.
We've all been told we can't discuss nominations.
It's a bit of car air.
Shut up with a novel on the top.
I think I like you, Lovejoy.
Find us on Twitter at BoxDelightsPod and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Big Owl.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.